Let's continue with a little bit of soccer talk here. Maybe a whole lot as we say happy Thanksgiving to John Molinaro, the Chiefs soccer reporter on Sportsnet. John, how are you?
Good, guys. How are you today?
We're doing well. Thank you. Thank you very much. It has been a fun weekend of watching soccer, not only MLS, of course, all the World Cup qualifying that has taken place. As we get set, and you wrote an interesting article today, do you think it's easier to be a TFC fan, or do we work harder for a team that has to have on the, you know, the construction hats to get where the Whitecaps have in the Western Conference?
I think so a little bit. I mean, that's not to sort of disparage the Whitecaps too much, because I like a lot of what the team has done this year. You don't get to the top of the Western Conference by accident. I think the West is, you know, pretty wide open. It's pretty competitive. I just think, you know, Toronto has a lot more to be thankful for because they're the best team in the league right now. They have, you know, I just think top to bottom, you know, an incredibly balanced quality side, you know, when you look at every position. But again, yeah, you have to look at what Vancouver has done this season and really appreciate what the Whitecaps have done in a tough Western Conference to sit, you know, top of the conference this late in the season, probably going to have a first round bye. You know, I think that's something to be very proud of for the Whitecaps organization.
In your latest piece on Sportsnet.ca, you have what Canada's MLS club should be thankful for this year. And for the Whitecaps, Carl Robinson, is this man appreciated across the MLS as much as he should be for what he's done with this Whitecaps team?
I don't think he is, to be perfectly honest. You know, there's all this sort of talk about, you know, MLS Coach of the Year, and I really haven't heard his name mentioned all that much. And that's a shame. I think Carl is, you know, a very astute tactician who really gets the most out of his players. And he's sort of built this team, this Whitecaps team, in his own image. He was a very no-fuss, kind of no-nonsense player during his playing career, just kind of went about his business in a very quiet fashion. And I feel that's very much what the Whitecaps have done. They haven't really sort of garnered all that much attention, not nearly as much attention as Toronto. And yet, you know, here they are leading the Western Conference and, again, probably going to have a first-round bye. So, yeah, I think, you know, Carl has had to do it hasn't been easy this season. There's been injury problems. There's been international absences. The loss of Matias Laba was pretty big. But, you know, I think guys like Montero and you were talking about Kendall Waston, I think he's been, you know, such an outstanding player for the Whitecaps this year. And, you know, Jordy Reyna as well. He's been, I think, just an incredibly dynamic attacker who's really sort of elevated the Whitecaps attack to another level. So you have to give a great deal of credit for Carl for bringing this all together and really making the Whitecaps a force in the Western Conference.
So the Caps dropped a 3-0 loss to the Red Bulls this week. So there was, you know, Waston was missing. You had no Bolaños, you know, had no Jordy Reyna. There's no real superstar on this team. But in your mind, who is the most important? A few of the guys were missing from this past weekend, but which one do you think had the biggest drop-off, and who did they really miss?
Well, I think they really missed Kendall Waston. I know Reyna has, as I mentioned, had a wonderful impact from the attacking end and has really sort of elevated this Whitecaps team. But for me, I think Kendall Waston is just the reference point for the Whitecaps. An incredibly you know, talented defender. Provides a leadership. I think they were really kind of missing him on the weekend because New York was just sort of running roughshod, you know, amidst the Whitecaps back line. I think he just kind of sets the tone for this team. He's a typical kind of Carl Robinson player, just kind of goes about his business in a very workmanlike manner and doesn't draw a lot of attention to himself. So I think for me, you know, Kendall Waston, that's not to diminish, you know, the contributions of someone like Jordy Reyna, who I think has been fantastic, but for me, Waston has been sort of the seminal figure for the Whitecaps this season.
We're joined by John Molinaro, the chief soccer reporter on Sportsnet. You're listening to On Point, Perry Solkowski, along with Randeep Janda. John, last year, MLS Cup in Toronto, I think Don Garber, the commissioner of Major League Soccer, came there, probably was a little surprised not knowing what he was going to get. Do you still think Canadian franchises, the three, Montreal, Toronto, and Vancouver, are almost an afterthought and not getting the respect? As you mentioned, Carl Robinson's name not being talked about, Coach of the Year. And that will always be the case. You know, Atlanta comes in and it's fantastic. That, you know, we're always going to be the three ugly sisters up north that no one really gives the respect to.
I think that's true to a certain extent, although I think certainly Toronto's strong form this season, and if they go on to break this single-season point record, then I think that'll go some distance to addressing that. But, yeah, I think you're quite right. I think it's just kind of, you know, out of sight and out of mind. I mean, we can't sort of deny that the bulk of sort of the media conglomerate who cover this league are from south of the border. And, you know, it's interesting. Grant Wall, who works for Sports Illustrated, who I have a great deal of respect for, you know, last week he tweeted something about Atlanta and how, you know, it's the story of the year in MLS. Well, I mean, with all due respect, I would suggest, and I know I'm a Toronto-based reporter, but I would suggest Toronto FC is probably the story of the year in MLS with this record-setting campaign that they're on. But yeah, I think, you know, I think the Canadian clubs in general don't get their due. I don't think enough people are talking about the Whitecaps, you know, the way that they've climbed to the Western Conference. And, you know, wouldn't it be something if TFC and the Whitecaps were to meet in MLS?
Well, it'd be a nightmare, I think, for Major League Soccer.
Don Garber would be having nightmares.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily what Don Garber would want, but it'd certainly be a big boost for the sport in Canada. And maybe that's what it would take for, in terms of kind of addressing that lack of respect that we were talking about.
So we have you on here. We got to talk some World Cup qualifying. Just breaking news right now, everybody's sweetheart during the Euros, Iceland has qualified for the World Cup. So it's their first World Cup. Can you imagine a World Cup without Lionel Messi in Argentina? Is that something that you're even willing to ponder at this point?
I am, yeah. The way that sort of Argentina has been competing in this South American qualifier, I think they deserve to be in the spot that they are. They deserve to be in trouble because they haven't been all that impressive. They haven't been sort of grinding out results. I think it would be a big shame if, you know, Lionel Messi didn't, if Argentina didn't make the World Cup, because you want to see the best players in the world, obviously, in the biggest sort of sports event in the world compete. That said, I don't think, you know, the World Cup would be lost without Messi. We've had World Cup tournaments before where some of the biggest stars haven't, you know, been there, whether it's, you know, Zlatan Ibrahimovic or going way back, whether it's someone like Johan Cruyff in the 70s with the great Netherlands side. So while it would be, I think, a big disappointment if Messi wasn't there, I don't think it would do the World Cup, you know, any major harm. You know, it's still going to be a spectacularly successful event next year in Russia with regards to whether, you know, Lionel Messi is there or not.
What has intrigued you about qualifying thus far? That has been the story. Argentina struggles.
I guess the U.S. is kind of interesting too. I mean, I think it just goes to show how, you know, CONCACAF, I guess for the longest time, it was always seen as Mexico and the U.S. and then everyone else, and that the gap was, you know, pretty significant. But I think the fact that the U.S. has struggled and, you know, it's really come down to these last two games for them that they had to sort of get their act together. I think it just shows that, you know, CONCACAF isn't just a two-horse race anymore. You know, Costa Rica, you know, we saw what they did in the World Cup last year going to the quarterfinals, and you know, you can't sort of write that off as a fluke because they've been very impressive in this qualifying campaign and, you know, qualified again. You know, so I think the fact that CONCACAF is much more competitive and it's not just as a cakewalk for the likes of Mexico and the United States as it once was, that to me, again, maybe it's my bias being in Canada, that to me is sort of is what has really stood out.
John, you cover the game probably as well as anybody in the country watching what's going on around the globe. Are you positive? I know I was down at the Gold Cup in Phoenix when Canada lost to Jamaica. I had a good feeling about Octavio Zambrano and where he is taking this team. It's a shame they don't have as many games in front of them that mean anything right now. But do you have a feeling that finally our national team might be under the right direction right now and there's hope?
I do, yeah. I mean, I haven't necessarily been hopeful before just because I thought, you know, the player pool wasn't all that great and the guy in charge wasn't all that great too. I think hiring Benito Floro, you know, in hindsight proved to be a mistake, and in reality it was as well. I mean, I think he was largely hired based on, you know, his past reputation at Real Madrid, and he shouldn't have been put in place to begin with. But with Zambrano, I think it's proven to be a smart appointment. I've spoken to him a bunch of times, and he just strikes me as a very sort of thoughtful, intelligent guy who, you know, really knows what he has, and he's, you know, beating the bushes in terms of trying to get players who are eligible to play for Canada to play for Canada. And I think, you know, it's all come together. I mean, there's, you know, when you look at there's a solid core there of, you know, Alphonso Davies, of, you know, Scott Arfield, and Anthony Jackson-Hamel, the young striker for the Impact. It seems like for the first time in a long time, you know, we're talking about Canada's attack and how dangerous it is going forward. And I can't remember the last time that was. And I think the other important part, Perry, is that, you know, this is a team playing with great confidence. And again, that hasn't been, that's long been sort of one of the major problems with Canada. Historically, they've always played not to lose, or they've always showed their opponents too much respect. And now I think, you know, Octavio has really sort of changed the culture within this team, has really made them believe. And I thought we saw that at the Gold Cup. I think we've seen that in games since. So I have genuine hope that, you know, come the next World Cup qualifying cycle, you know, Canada can go a little bit farther than it has before. And God help us, maybe they even qualify for the World Cup. Wouldn't that be something?
We would give thanks. On this day, we thank you, John. I appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
No problem, guys. Anytime.
All right. There's John Molinaro, the chief soccer reporter on Sportsnet, talking all things soccer, all things World Cup.